first of all, thank you for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
And I don't know what the etiquette, the rules are in regards to that sort of thing. I've heard something differently, but a particular amount of time, you're supposedly not supposed to say anything. I don't want to come across as insensitive. I think it's probably necessary that I say I'm genuinely sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I guess the big question is, why are you here today? Why are you here for this?
There are two reasons why I'm here today. The first reason, and why I'm here for the hearing in general, the main reason is to gain the information for myself, because the Coast Guard did not afford me the opportunity to hear any of this prior to going to into this situation with this Article 32 hearing. The vast majority of the information I'm hearing for the first time in a factual manner, and that is why I needed to come to hear it firsthand as opposed to secondhand or thirdhand through the media. Secondly, I am here to support Lance and their family, and to let them know that there are many, many people out there that support them, and that somehow good will come from this situation.
When you came into the building yesterday, I didn't know you, but I kind of sort of instinctively knew who you were, because you were kind of very smartly dressed in black and gray.
Not on purpose.
But the thing that caught my eye was this necklace around your neck.
Yes, sir.
And I'm assuming that it's your engagement ring and your husband's wedding band?
Yes, sir. My husband, he never wore his ring around his finger. He wore it on this specific gold chain. So at the time of his death, he was wearing his necklace with his wedding band. And that was returned to me as soon as possible. And I have worn it since last May, actually, timely enough for today. Last May, I chose to take my engagement ring and my wedding band and attach it to his on this necklace. And again, I remove it for very short periods of time, but it stays with me.
It's a little heartbreaking to see that. When I first saw it, I knew what it was. Both you and Sean, Lieutenant Kruger, had children, right?
Yes, we had three children, and this necklace happens to be one that the littlest one, who's now two, was 7 months at the time of the crash. It happens to be one of her favorite toys as a baby. She would play with it and chew with it on her daddy's neck, and she would do the same with me once I was wearing it. So it holds a lot of special meaning.
And once again, how many kids?
Three children.
Three?
My son Trevor is 9, my daughter Carrie Ann is 7, and my daughter Ashlyn has just turned 2.
I've never been in that place as a parent, so what do you do? How do you communicate with your children about something like this?
I am as honest as possible with my children. They actually know, the older two anyway, they know why I'm here. They know I'm here at a trial or a hearing, because the Coast Guard has some information to gain from the investigation, and they have some questions for a lot of people, so we're going to gain information. And when they ask me what happened, I'm likely to tell them, because I feel as though they need to hear the truth before it's construed by opinion.
And how much do they know about their dad on that particular day, or what happened then?
They know too much for, at the time, an 8- and 6-year-old. Or 8- and 5-year-old, actually, at the time. But they know that he was working hard, doing his job, and that circumstances took him away.
Based on what you've heard and seen so far in the last day and a half, 2 days, what do you think? What's come to your mind so far?
What do I think? I think it's a lot to process, and that is honestly where my mind is, that I am still just trying to process what I had learned through the media prior to now, and what I'm learning as what they're claiming to be fact and what they're claiming to be opinion, the difference of document A and document B, and just trying to process everything through, I think will take a long time, but answers will come eventually.
I wanted to ask you about something, and I'm sort of struggling with a kind of a tactful way of saying it, but there was some commentary, there was some testimony, some evidence yesterday, and some of it was brought up by the defense that was in relation to your husband's flying practices, mm-hmm. such as low-flying terrain that really kind of struck me in regards to, I guess, the altitude, falling, you know, minimum safe
right.
altitudes. What did you think when you started hearing things like that?
It's obviously not easy to hear, but I think a long time ago I sort of accepted, you know, what it sounded as though their flight consisted of and the direction that particular flight took. I trust in that my husband did his job to the best of his ability every day. So in this particular case, he was still doing his job and he was doing something he loved to do until they hit that wire.
Tell a little bit about him, if you could. How did he, you remember, you recall, did he tell you about how he got interested in getting into the Coast Guard, in the Coast Guard Aviation?
I actually met him while he was 2 years into the academy. So he was a, second class cadet at the academy when I met him. I sucked up all the information I could from then on. He finished the academy and went. His first billet was, or duty station was, on a black hull cutter in Duluth, Minnesota. And then from there we went to flight school and on from there. And I think he just took every job he was given, be it as a cutterman or as a pilot in the United States or as a pilot in the United Kingdom. And took his job seriously and enjoyed every minute of it, even when it was difficult. My husband Sean was selected in 2006 to be the U.S. Coast Guard exchange pilot with the Royal Navy in Cornwall, England. And we moved there in January of 2007, lived there for a year and 3 months. And he flew their Sea King for those 2 years and served with the Royal Navy rescuing people in England and doing missions there. So.
And where were some of the locations of your postings previous to Sitka?
Previous to Sitka. So we lived in Pensacola, Florida, clearly for flight school. We were stationed from there up on Cape Cod, at Air Station Cape Cod. He was a H-60 pilot. And then from there we went to England, where he flew as the Sea King pilot. And then we were sent directly from England to Sitka. Okay.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add or anything that comes to your mind in regards to all this that you'd like to say or get off your chest?
There is only one thing, and that's I'd like people to look at this with an open, objective mind and to see it not one-sided and to just open themselves up and allow themselves to accept the information and live in the moment, even though it's difficult. You can't get through today unless you allow yourself to.
Thank you for talking with me again.
Yeah, thank you.